Okay, so for my guys, we will get to the sugya of renting, which is the next daf. In the meantime, I said we'd explore one more halacha lamaisa issue that comes up, really set out the basic framework for it. So for those of you who were here yesterday, we did how Los Chanim plays out in Heter Mechira and in the Land for Peace deals. But the classic case of Los Chanim of Karka is simply what? No, that's not the classic case. That's the next sugya, is buying. Right? I mean Heter Mechira and Land for Peace are sort of like exceptional instances of giving away or selling or whatever, trading, however you want to define it, land. But the classic prohibition is just, like the classic case, don't sell land. And then in the next stop, you have the prohibition of renting. But what's unique about the prohibition of renting?
It's only because of low territory.
And therefore, it applies even chutz laretz.
Oh, yeah.
Right, renting is different. Right, renting, as we'll see, is more problematic. Why is renting more problematic?
It's going to bring an island to your house.
It's the other person you're buying it.
It's anywhere.
Right, and why is that only true of renting and not buying?
Because if you sell it, then it's not your house anymore.
Correct, right? Selling, there's no problem in chutz laretz, because what's the worst that will happen? Someone will bring an idol into their house.
Right,
that's not your problem. But renting, it is still your house. There's a bit of discussion in Poskim of whether that's true bisman hazeh, because of the way rent works. I don't know if Rabbi Ginsburg discusses with you.
Yeah, so some people say renting and armadine is like selling.
Correct, right? Meaning, renting, historically, in many cultures, was not like what we have now, right? Where you have like a year contract and
you can't just kick a guy out of your house if you want it back.
Correct, which, you know, nowadays, right, since you can't do that, so some people say, well, we call renting is not actually tzchiras halachically, it's mechira lezman, or something like that, or it's closer to mechira, or something like that, in which case it might be permitted. But classic renting, where, basically you lived in somebody's attic or something, and, you know, when their kids came to visit for Shabbos, they just kicked you out or something, I don't know. And there was no protection whatsoever. So that was a bigger problem. But in terms of selling, so we noted the, you know, sort of unique cases of Heter Mechira and of Land for Peace, but the classic case is also problematic, because the reality is that in Israel, kamuvan, there are non-Jews who own property, right? And might buy your property, right? It could be Muslims, could be Christians, could be anybody else, could be an intermarried couple, right? Could be someone who is halachically not Jewish, but is, you know, but identifies as Jewish under the law, you know, and was allowed to make LA under the law of return, right? Could all types of circumstances. So, as I mentioned yesterday, this was one of the issues that really challenged the poskim in the 40s, primarily, right? That was when it really began, because what was unique about the 40s and the 50s?
When all the non-Jews started coming.
No, it was when the state started. Come on, state 40, 48, 48, 48.
From the 40s.
Yes, late 40s, early 50s, right? The poskim.
The partition was in 47.
Yeah, but that's not the point.
Okay,
but the state was in 48. So the question was, how do you deal with this? What I want to do is just give you a bit of a survey of the directions that were taken by Poskim to solve this problem. So Ellie, tell me, what was the first direction that the Poskim took? Right, and this should sound like a broken record, I hope. Right?
About renting?
What is the first direction that any Poskim is going to take on these issues? To find a heter.
Oh, they're not.
They're going to try to figure out who does apply to, and as we've discussed, literally at every stage of this issur, all three of them, when we say lo tichaneim, who are we talking about? What type of non-Jew are we talking about? And as we've seated, the Rajba thinks it's only Avdei Avodah Zarah, the Smag. And we'll see, the Ravid, at least for this purpose, for these purposes, for Yeshiva Bards actually entertains as well, that it's only the Sheva Amamin. We've seen the possibility that it is, right, only Ger Toshev that's allowed to be here, which create problems, but then we noted yesterday that one could expand Ger Toshev, plus you always have the Me'iri you can rely on, right, who basically says that whenever the Gemara says Ovdei Avodah Zarah, it excludes non-Jews nowadays who are Gdurim B'Gidrei Hadatot, which my shir, I don't know if your, did your shir? Okay, so the Meiri throughout the Masechta in like, you know, 100 places. What? Right. So the Meiri's position in general, I think I probably put one. Yeah, I did put one here on the source sheet. Feels that whenever the Gemara refers to Avdei Avodah Zarah, it doesn't mean all non-Jews. It only means the old savage barbarians and not
the civilized
nations that we are among. So let's first look through that. So let's go to number four. Let's review for a moment the Rambam. Ein mochren lohem batim v'sados v'eretz Yisrael uv'suria mochren lohem batim avalo sados. Right, you're not allowed, and we'll come back to this point, my share will come back to this, the distinction between houses and fields, but you're not allowed to sell houses or fields in Eretz Yisrael. What? We've done these Rambam several times, but we haven't actually focused on this distinction yet. But you don't sell lands or fields in Eretz Yisrael or in Syria. To Eretz Yisrael. But in Syria, you're allowed to sell houses, which are considered less established than fields. What? What? No, it's because it's less misparnes, right? Possibly. I mean, this is the discussion of the Gemara. Maskir lem batim v'Eretz Yisrael, b'vatzal yasa shchuna v'en shchuna p'chusa b'shlosha. You can rent them houses in Eretz Yisrael as long as you don't enable them to make a community, which is three houses. V'en maskir lem sados, v'asur maskir lem sados. We're allowed to, you can't. Right. No, so you'll see the Rambam says both, right? And in Syria, you can rent them fields. Why are fields worse? One, mafkiyam in amasros, v'nozen l'chayin v'karka. Right? One is because it removes the chiyuv of maasros, and the second is because it gives them a hold in the land itself. But you're allowed to sell land in chutz
la'aretz. I thought the shtayim was... As opposed to the house has.
Maybe. It's only Chanaya, maybe. Maybe that's... Okay. The Gemara also talks about that as Mizbarech, right? The Gemara has a bit more of a discussion about it. Okay. So in Halacha Dalid, if we just look after the ellipsis, we've seen this again many times. Right? If... You can't sell them land, because if you do, so then their dwelling is no longer arai, it is keva, it's no longer temporary, it is permanent, and that is going to be usher. And we've already talked about the many, many heterim that come from that line. Ellie, what did we see yesterday?
If it's a non-permanent dwelling, it's mudger.
Correct. The possibility that if it's temporary, it's mudger. The possibility that they already own land, it's mudger, because their dira is already keva, etc. Okay. Halacha Vav. Now, Ein Kol Hadvar Ma'ilu Amurim El Mizman Shegalu Yisrael Avein Ov De Kochavim. All of this is only true when we were in Galus. O Sheyad Akum Tkeif Al Yisrael. Or if the non-Jews are in charge of us. Avol Bizman Sheyad Yisrael Tkeif Aleihem. But when we are in charge of them, Aser Lanu Laniach Ov De Kochavim Beinenu. We aren't allowed to permit idolaters to live among us. Vafilu Yoshev Yeshivas Arai Over Mimakom Lamakom Bischora Lo Yavor Bartzenu Elai Chikabal of Shiva Mitzvah Shinestavu Bnei Noach Shinemer Lo Yeshu Bartzachah Filu Visha. Right, so now the Rambam tells you there's yet another Isser. Right, meaning Lo Tzechaneim is the least of our problems. Lo Tzechaneim means that you can't give them karka to live permanently. But if we are really in charge, and there's an idolater who just wants to visit, what's the halacha? Right, we can't even let him live arai. Right, unless he accepts the Shiva Mitzvot in front of Bezdin. V'imkiel of Shiva Mitzvot erezeh gertoshev, en mekablam gertoshev, el bizman sheyovel noeg, or shlo bizman yovel, en mekablam gert tzedek bilvad. But we can't accept this when there's no yovel, based on the Gemara in Erechen. So what's the obvious problem? You just read the Rambam, right? And what is going to be the halacha?
With
the practical issue that you have to deal with, right, is the reality is that right, the symbol of the Rambam is al pi halacha nowadays, right? The Christians can't live in Eretz Yisrael because they're over the Avodah Zarah according to the Rambam. Right? The Rambam thinks they're over the Avodah Zarah. Right? The Rambam is in no uncertain terms says Christians are over the Avodah Zarah.
Even if they weren't, they can't.
And even Muslims who are clearly not over the Avodah Zarah can't be Gerei Toshav because there's no way of having the formal acceptance of Gerei Toshav.
You said in general what Rambam Shul says because Christianity is a reserve because it's a place where he will prove so.
Because?
Well, the place where he was brought, where he
no, we said that the Rambam... The Rambam... No, I never said that. I said the Rambam says that Christianity is Avodah Zarah.
Yeah,
full stop.
I know, but also it makes a difference where he lived.
No, but that's his position. That's why he could say that and didn't cause practical problems in his life.
Yeah.
That doesn't change the fact that his position was, in no uncertain terms, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, so there's no way to allow them to live in the country.
Yeah, but still, I say European places didn't vary.
But the Rambam...
Europe, they were...
Right now we're in the Rambam. The Rambam says in no uncertain terms, Christians are Avodah Zarah. They're the Yehuda living in Europe. Mm-hmm. Right? Paskins... They're over the Avodah Zarah. The majority of Achronim, I would contend, right, as did the Rav, right, based on Chaim Soloveitchik, that most post-Kamen disagree with the Ramah. The Ramah says the Christians are not over the Avodah Zarah. Many, if not most of the Achronim who living in Europe, living in Christian lands, it's not true. They are over the Avodah Zarah.
Yes, but the Rambam is more extreme to that.
No, he doesn't.
That's what you told me last night.
No. I never said that. I said the Ramah doesn't think that. The Ramah thinks Christians are not of Deva Deserve, and the Yehuda thinks they are, just like the Rambam. Right? No, the Yehuda thinks they're of Deva Deserve, just like the Rambam. Pesachei Tshuva, right? Ruchaim Soloveitchik, the Rav, they all thought that Christians were of Deva Deserve, just like the Rambam did. Right? If you think that, so, Ellie's like, that's not a problem, that's not halacha, we're done. Right? But again, Ellie, you don't think like a posek, right? You think like a lamdan, and therefore you're like, well, that's just what would come out. So what's the problem, right? Let's just kick them out. That doesn't work very well. So the Ravid, so first of all, the Ravid challenges him. And he says, first of all, Kaza Ravid Zal, Daza Mechaber Sasum V'chasum, right? The Rambam's opinion is closed and sealed, meaning it makes no, V'lo Perish Mahu in Mechablon Gertosha, meaning he has not explained anything. He doesn't explain what he wants from our lives. So he says there are many halachos that come from this, namely that you have to support them, and that he can kone an evit ivri, ka'akum, etc. And he says, now some of these halachos are lahak. Kel v'yesh ben lahachmer alav, shebizman she'en ayov al noeg, yoja afil bir atzma, she'en gedushas ha'aretz aleha, k'sha'isa, v'kona evet ivri, azman she'yirtza, she'en zman me'yuchad. Ve'el lahak alav, and he says, it's not true, right, that the Rambam says that bizman hazen, none of the halachos of Gertoshev applies. The Ravid says, no, that just means that all the halachot apply. That means, that nowadays, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when there was Yovel Noach, he couldn't buy land in the city. Now he can even buy land in the city. Because the land, the way the Ravid understands it, is actually less kadosh, right? At some level, it's missing a level of kedusha. But for our purpose, what he then says, he said, it's true that nowadays we don't have to support a Ger Toshev without the formal acceptance from Beis Din and without Zman She Yovel Noeg. He said, maybe the reason is technical, which is that when the Yovel was Noeg, there were less poor Jewish people because every 50 years they got their money back. And therefore, we had extra resources, right? He's making to support Gary Toshev. Now we can, whatever it is. But what's his point? What's the Ravid's point?
There are Gary Toshevs today.
For this purpose, right? The Gemara in Erechin says we don't accept a Gary Toshev Bizman Hazeh when there's no Yovel. The Rambam understands that to mean that there can be no such thing as a Gary Toshev. The Ravid says it's not true. It's just for certain halachot. But for this purpose, namely for Yeshiva Ba'aretz, what does he say?
There are.
I skipped the Ravid. That was the more expanded. I skipped the Ravid's. Look back at the Ravid's and Al-Chavav, right? You got confused which Ravid I went to, because I went to the wrong one.
Yeah, I didn't really know where the whole time I was.
That's fine. So look at the other Ravid. The Ravid says, "Vapil Yoshev Yeshivas Araya Over Makom Makom Eschar Liyavar Bratzeinu Amar Avram Zos Lo Matzana Velo Shamanu Me'olam." We've never heard this. It's wrong. First of all, for the being in the land, at least, maybe not Lo Sechonim, right? The Smag said Lo Sechonim only applies to Sheva Amamin. The Ravid says at least the even more radical obligation to not even let them visit, that's only B'Sheva Amamin, right? But a regular Ovid of Adazara even can live, can visit Arai, right? And then he says, Avol Shalob Bezman Yovel, Ein Mekablan El Ger Tzedek Bilvad, Amar Avram, Eini Mashal B'Sheva Aretz. He said, I don't agree with him. When it comes to Yeshiva Aretz, right, Ger Toshev does exist, right? So, the first group of Heterim are to say that, yes, the Rambam clearly seems to think that a Muslim, even a Muslim, for sure a Christian, is not allowed to buy land in Eretz Israel, right? Because you're not even allowed to let him visit Kal v'chomer selim land, Lo Yishvu, and Lo Sechanim. But the Ravid is not true. The Ravid says that for these purposes, at least the more radical one, right, that they can't even visit, that's A, only Sheva Amin, and B, for these purposes, we have Ger Toshav. And therefore, at least Muslims, though not Christians, according to the Ravid, Dani, right, according to the Ravid, are allowed to
sell land
to them, you're allowed to let them live here.
According to the Ravid, you'd be based in Oslam?
No, right? Right. He thinks, at least for these purposes, right?
Right. Isn't he based in?
What?
How do you know, according to the Ravid, there's no based in Oslam?
I mean, because he says nowadays we are not makabel ger toshav, but still these halachos of ger toshav apply, right? Meaning whether he does in general is a different story. That's a sugya in ger toshav, which I don't want to fully get into, right? The full sugya of ger toshav is larger than this, but according to Ravid, what's clear is that at least from the vantage point of living in the land, if you have a non-Jew, a Muslim, who keeps the Sheva mitzvos, so for these purposes, he says he's a ger toshav, for these purposes. Right, not for everything, not lachiosa. You don't have to support him. You don't have to, include him on the social welfare, right? Which we would anyways, because it's Israel. But we don't have to, right? You don't have to. The third position is the Kesev Mishnah. Even expands the Rambam. So you look at number six. The Kesev Mishnah says, "Taimel shel arayvid lomar shavu b'shem mekamlin ger toshav b'zman sheina yovel noeg in kivo sheva mitzvos loma yimnu oso mishiva saaretz halek ol amechash bepen yachdiu." Right, he said the Ravid. He said, "Okay, what's the Ravid svara? Right, why does the Ravid say that we expand ger toshav for the purpose of allowing them to dwell in the land?" Nachum.
Sorry.
Right, why does he say? Why does the Kesef Mishnah think that the Ravid expands the definition of Ger Toshav such that even without the formal acceptance of Bezdin, right, he thinks that, what?
The Naskar of Odazara then.
Correct, right? Again, this is something we've come back to 100 times, right? That the Poskim assume, right, this is true of Tosfos, now it's true of the Kesef Mishnah, that in Lo Sechanim, in Lo Yeshuv Bar Tzachan, these prohibitions, there is, Dani, a connection between
the Vos
and the Far Vos, right? And since the Torah says it's Pen Yachdiu, so what does the Kesef Mishnah say? If the what is connected to the why, so even if someone is not technically a Ger Toshav, but he's not an idolater to keep the Sheva Mitzvei Noach, he just happens not to have been accepted by Bezdin. So if the what and the why are connected, do you have any chash that this guy is going to lead you to Avodah Zarah?
No,
he keeps the Sheva Mitzvei B'nei Noach. So you aren't allowed to formally accept him. So what? You're not scared of having him in the land. But then he says, "Uladas Rabbeinu Nira Lomar Dino Chanami Shemeat Mekibul of Shiva Mitzvah Shein Monis of Mishivas Aretz Velo Bolomar LaShabezdin Mekablan Oso." And then he's Mechadish, and even the Rambam admits this. It's a stretch in the Rambam, right, to say that you're right. We don't like actively accept him. But maybe even the Rambam would allow him to dwell. It's quite a stretch in the Rambam. But, right? But from the vantage point of a posek eli, why is this helpful?
Well, then you could have anybody sell land to any Muslim.
Well, let's be a little bit more precise. Because that means that the author of Shulchan Aruch, despite the fact that he generally passes like the Rambam,
oh,
right?
He's passing like the Rambam.
right? No, generally passing like the Rambam, and thinks that Lo Sechanim applies to all non-Jews, even the Shulchan Aruch, at least, remember we talked about this yesterday, at least the way the Shulchan Aruch, right, the Kesem Mishnah, understands the Rambam would be modeh that we're allowed to let such people live in the land. Right? Which means in terms of a psak thing, right, in terms of psak, whether or not the Rambam says it, the point is that the Ravid very clearly would allow a Muslim to remain, and the Kesem Mishnah thinks that the Rambam might even allow a Muslim to remain, not a Christian. Right? A father, the Rambam, is not going to accept Christians. So this is a decent basis for het there, because you have the Ravid, and you have Shulchan Aruch's understanding of the Rambam, which may or may not be what the Rambam means, right? But at least you have a lot of big names who say, okay, at least a Muslim, potentially, you could... Correct. And if you look at number 7, that's exactly what Rav Herzog said. Because Rav Herzog was... What was special about Rav Herzog? Do you want a source sheet? What? He was the first chief rabbi of the state. First Ashkenazi chief rabbi of the state. And therefore, these shilas came to him. Right? Rav Herzog, who were the first... I've said this before. Who were the first chief rabbis of the state of Israel?
Rav Herzog.
The Ashkenazi and...
Sorry.
Rav Ben Sion Meir Chai Uziel. Right? Rav Uziel, in short. Right? And Rav Herzog devoted much of his psak to trying to deal with the halachic challenges of the early state. So one of them was obviously, lo sechanim, lo yeshuv artzecha, how do we allow Muslims and Christians to live in our land? Right? So he says in number 7, at least for Muslims, he says, aval kol panim, bein shadas haram be'emes kach oeina kach. Right? Eli, you should be happy. He said, look, whether or not the Rama meant it, right? Harei lanu shnei amudei ha-torah halalu ha-ravid umaran bal shulchan aruch zal. Right, for a psak, right, there's two questions. One is the lamdus. Did the Rambam mean it? My guess is probably not. And the Rav Herzog said it's probably true. But in terms of psak, can you rely on this shita that if you have a Muslim, right?
For this purpose.
For this purpose, Ger Toshav. He said, look, it's the Ravid and it's Shulchan Aruch. It's not bad. Right? It's not bad. He's in Maskim and Deacha, Shenachri, Shein Ovid Avodazara. Even if you didn't formally accept him in front of the court, as long as you have somebody who practically keeps the Shiva mitzvot, which a good, upstanding Muslim does, right? You know, many of the workers who work in, you know, who like work in Efrat, who live in Wadi Anis, right? I'm sure keep the Shiva mitzvot, right? They're known for being peaceful, right? They don't hurt. You know, they do not have a history of hurting people or killing people, right? They don't, you know, they're pretty honest. As far as I know, they don't steal. They definitely don't eat live animals, right? They're makbid on Sharia, you know, on Sharia law, on kashrus, right? They believe in God. They don't blaspheme, right? You know, they come around all day saying, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, right? Right? You know, they live within Israel, which has some semblance of law or whatever the PA has, right? It's, arguably, it's dinim, right? Right, they keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Right, they believe in God, you know, all of them. Right, so he says, look, they can. Said, they can live. And then he introduces a third chiddush, which is that maybe, even if that's not true of individuals, maybe even the Rambam would admit that an entire nation that accepts, that lives according to the Sheva Mitzvos, gets the status of a Ger Toshav even without a formal Kabbalah. Right? That's quite a Chiddush. I don't know exactly what that's based on. But, fine. Another Lumdish position is in number 9. Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who was also an early Zionist posek, maybe this will make Eli happier. Right? And he says, here's a different Lumdish one. He says, Be'ha'arot l'mishpat kohen me'ez b'no yedidi agon r'tzi Yehuda HaKohen Kuk Shlita, right? Meaning, Rav Kuk's son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kuk, wrote, Shenag with us a Ravid, Shele Inyan Yeshiva Zeretzal Maspik Kabbalah Inyan Avodazara, Matsinu Madrega Mimutsat, Me Nochri Leger Toshav. Vuhu Levi Amizbaro Pidas a Ravid, Bazeh, Shekibo Shalavid Avodazar, Shu Ger Toshav, Inyan Yeshiva Baretz. Said it could mean that what the Ravid means is not that he is a Ger Toshav, it's just that there's a status. Yeah, meaning, if... What's he saying? Somebody who, if there were a Sanhedrin, and there was a Yovel, would be a Ger Toshav. So you can't call him an Oved Avodah Zarah. He may not be a ger toshav, but he's not a pure nachri, meaning, right?
And this, like, is only on a nachri, not a positive on the ger toshav.
Correct, right? So that's his chiddush. He says maybe, again, related to what the Kesem Mishnah says, that the problem is only of the avodah zarah. If someone, right, that's like saying, if someone, right, wants to convert to Judaism, right, and like he learns for years, he's ready, the Beis Din approves him, right, he's ready to convert, and then he gets some medical condition that prevents him from having a bris milah. Right? There are shailas like this every so often in poskim. Right? So Pasha says he can't convert.
Yeah.
Right? Because he can't do a bris. But are you going to tell me that that guy, who for the last 5 years has been training, at this point he knows Shulchan Aruch backwards and forwards, he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He wants to be Jewish, and it's a technicality. He can't take a bris. Right? He can't get a bris. He's not an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. He may not... What?
According to the Rambam, I think he can't come in.
I'm explaining the Amud Amini, right? Rav Shaul Yisraeli is quoting Rav Yehuda. He's saying, it may be that the Rambam thinks he's still not a ger toshav. But what the Ravid is getting at is still that person you're worried about having in Eretz Yisrael,
right?
It may be true that he's not a ger toshav because ger toshav requires a formality. But if the iser of lo sechanim and lo yeshu v'artzecha is because you're substantively worried that he is Ovid Avodah Zarah, this guy has to have a middle status, right? He's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He's not that. Right? I think we can all understand the law. Again, whether or not the Rambam means it is not the question, right? He's saying, lumnishly, what the Ravid is getting at is that, right, it's what I just said. It's the guy who, were there a Beis Din, they would make him a ger toshav. So now, he may not be a ger toshav, but the Ravid says he's still not, like, begavra, right, an Ovid Avodah Zarah, right? Like, there has to be some substance to that category, right? If he's mamish, if the only thing is that, like, the office is closed, right, you can't become a ger toshav, right? That doesn't mean that the guy who wants to keep the Torah, wants to convert to Judaism, for all I know, right, we look at him and say, oh, you are a Zeus worshiper, right? Like, we just don't. Right? Like, that's not real. Okay. Now, we've noted before, right, that for other, right, for Matnas Chinam, the Beis Yosef doesn't accept this. Right? And I gave you that in 10. That for Matanos and for Chain, he thinks that Yishmaelim are Aser.
Really?
Right? Now, how you split between them, probably based on logic. Right? Is I assume that what's the Lamdus, right, is that the Beis Yosef, like Tosfos, will tell you, look, right, maybe the living in the land, why don't you want them to live in the land? They'll lead you to Avodah Zarah. And that isn't true if someone is a monotheist. But maybe Matanos and Lotitam Chain, right, don't praise them, don't give them presents, isn't about having them, isn't about Avodah Zarah, it's about... Either should go to Jews, or maybe we're worried about intermarriage, which is what it comes up in several poskim, right? If it's about, we want the money to go to Jews, or we don't want you to intermarry with them, so that's going to apply even to, right, a monotheist. Okay. Now, the third hetzer, which I keep, right, the third person hetzer, which I keep invoking, is the Meiri. Is that, again, the Meiri thinks that none of this, right, applies to non-Jews. Now, all of this only helps us for Muslims, potentially, right? But not for Christians. So for Christians, you're not going to be able to go in this direction. You're going to have to invoke either the Ramah, who says that they're not over the Avodah Zarah, right? But that still might not make them a ger toshav, right? Or you'll have to invoke this categorical position of the Meiri that all the halachos of the Kochavim were only because they were barbarians, but not our civilized ones. And if you look, for example, in 12... the Meiri says this is just one of the million places he says it is on our sugya. Halkol shuhum mina umos hagdurot v'darkei adatot v'shemodot be'elohud. If any of them are controlled by religion, right? They keep religion. Ein safek sha'af b'she'ein makiro muter ura'ui. Right? Even if you don't know them, right? Which is for Matanos, it is permitted and proper to let them live, to give them presents, v'chulei, v'chulei. Any religion that they admit God, yes. Presumably, he seems to even include Christianity, yeah. Remember we spent time in the Meiri?
Yeah, I remember.
Also, but confused. The nations had, like, no government? Like, what was going on?
No, it's not, yeah. I mean, basically, it was uncivilized. They were just uncivilized barbarians, right? That's how he understands it. He understands. Now, this is something. Look, I will. A little bit of American history for you, right? The many of the founding fathers were deists, but they believed, right? They didn't necessarily believe in an active God, but they all thought it was important for people to believe in an active God. Why? Because they thought a country couldn't run without religion, right? That what, right? Because government can only go so far in terms of controlling how people act. A basic belief in a religious system is what's necessary for what? Nachum?
For civilization.
For civilization, exactly, right? And that's basically what the Miri is saying, right? Is that the reason, right? All these categories are because people were barbarians, right? But if they're in fact civilized by religion, so then they're okay. Now, Rav Herzog was the one who really took this.
If they're civilized by Avodah Zarah, everything's fine.
No, they also have the Imam and Belahus, right? Ethical monotheism is essentially what he thinks, right?
Well, they're monotheists.
Well, that he doesn't say. Mamin Belahut. So that's the little bit what's unclear is would he include Christianity or not? Right? He seems to include Christianity.
What's the Greeks?
Right?
Nevada idol worshippers, I'd say.
Yeah, so.
Nice civilization.
Right. So, probably, right, he sounds like he's distinguishing what he knows from what Chazal knew. There are a lot of kashas on the Miri, right? Among them, yeah, you could have civilized pagans. He doesn't seem to include pagans.
Oh, well, that seems very much.
In a Hanami. The Psukim wouldn't go in that direction either. Okay. So, Rav Herzog in number 13, right, takes this as one of the main reasons for his kula to allow non-Jews to live, even Christians to live in the land. And he says, HaMitzvot halalu shein mitzvot tziburiyot HaMutalos lo al kol yachid v'yachid el aguf ha-shalit Shol ha-yehudit be'ezot tzirash dehei Sha'koach b'yadu l'kaimon lohut l'chachil l'ami yudi ha-kovesh ha-aretz v'kabal sur-vaniyut Hasovraniut matzmo. So now he says, first of all, he adds another chiddush, and he says maybe all these mitzvot, right, of lo yeshvu and lo sechanim, aren't really mitzvot on the yachid; they're mitzvot on the sovereign nation, right? Especially lo yeshvu, right? Meaning, make sure that the culture is free of idolaters. That's not something that an individual can do, right? The individual cannot sell the land, but the mitzvah fundamentally is an expression of sovereignty. He says, he says this is obvious. Now, why would it be obvious? Because what's the backdrop? No. Is the obligation of war.
One of the seven.
Right, meaning he's saying these mitzvot are come after we kick them out. Which means that they can only be fulfilled on a backdrop of sovereignty. Right? That's, I think, what he's arguing.
What does it sound
like the Gemara is saying? Well, he took him, right? He says, right? And he says, Imkein, Eifo, Bedarshal, Rekazeh, Utanai, Mitziut, Kazosh, Medina, Nitena, Samanaskach, and Chalos, Losan, Mitzvah, Kamoshin, Chalos, Losan, Mitzvah, Begola. So now he says, so therefore, if this sovereign nation has no power to enforce the laws, then neither would the individual be obligated and be no different than Golos. Why? He said, no one would ever tell you that it's usher to live in Israel under foreign control. Right? He makes the following argument. He says, right, Eli, right, let's say this was under the Ottomans. Right? Under the Ottomans, would anyone have a Hava Amina, right, that Jews wouldn't be allowed to live in Israel because non-Jews live there?
No.
No, right? No one would ever have a Hava Amina, you have to be Mekayim Lo Yeshvu. Right? Make sure that no non-Jew lives in the land. Right? It's not your power. So obviously, you're allowed to live in the land. Right? He says, V'klum Amarada, he said, so it should be no different if we do have a sovereign state, but the sovereign state doesn't have the political capital to prevent these people from living in the country. He says, Shuv yesh lanu litbonen. Halo tam shel mitzvot, and then he goes back to what the Ravid said, and the Kazim Mishnah said, which is the smara for all of this is what?
I mean the political capital, isn't this?
No, watch. He hasn't. I'll explain, right? Right? And he says, well, you tell me, what does he think?
I don't know. Certainly I'm able to say to a Christian, though.
So maybe the individual, but he says, On a national level, we can't, right? Definitely lo yeshvu. We can't kick. We can't prevent. Meaning, the country doesn't have the ability to not allow non-Jews to live here. What?
The country's not the one selling the houses.
No, but to not. No. So there's two things. There's lo yeshvu, and then there's lo zchanim, right? The issue of not even allowing them to visit the country. We can't do that politically, right? I don't remember if I put this piece here, right? Because Rav Herzog said, what are you going to do, right? We got the country, right, because the UN agreed. And the UN would never agree if we told them, you know, up front, look, we're going to violate the international, whatever it's called, Declaration of Human Rights, right?
Which means we're in a state of honesty.
Correct. Meaning he's saying, even though we do have sovereignty, it's not really a Yadenu Tkefa. Right, we're not really in control, and therefore we can't be held, just like we weren't held responsible with the Ottomans, we're not held responsible
here.
Now, at least to allow them in the land, that's lo yeshvu, right? I think you are willing to accept lo yeshvu as a national thing,
yeah.
Right? To say, no one's allowed to visit, that's not an individual thing. That's the sovereign. He says, so that we don't have the power, right? The fact that we technically are in charge doesn't mean that like we can do that internationally. And then he says, now he does a Kesem Mishnah-like move. Right? You're right, I'm not sure that this works for Lo Sechanim. Because maybe you could say, okay, the state has to allow sales. That doesn't mean the individual
has to sell.
Has to sell, right? No one can force you to. But then he... Ellie.
No.
Nachum, I thought you said, even if you stay up all night, you're awake all day.
Yeah.
Right. Really, really. Uh-huh. Remember that next time you want to watch the Super Bowl. Hello, Atam Shal Mitzvah Zalom Afirsh B'Torah, Pen Yachtiu Aschem, Shlo Nekabel Hashpah Mehem Omehav Odasam. Said the Torah says the reason it's usher is because we might be influenced. Umize lo yode sheish sakana shel hashpah yoter gdola me'agoyim al yehudim k'yehudim k'fushim tachtam, bein v'gola bein v'yitzhal, mimash yeish yehudim einam k'fushim tachtam, van yadua yeish lahem b'tor umayal yonim alayhem. Barur eifo, sham yisrael matzav kazeh, shem k'fushim tachat yad goyim, etc. So he said, look, right now again, this is an argument, essentially why it's worth having a state, even if it won't be perfect. Right? And he says, you know why? Because why don't we want to allow these idolaters to be in the land? Because they'll influence us. But he said, let's say we had said, oi, we're only going to accept a state if you allow us to fill the most, right, all the halachos, kedasu, kedin, right? No idolaters are allowed, no Christians can ever come and visit Bethlehem, right? Or visit the sepulchre, whatever, the Holy Sepulchre, or whatever, right? What would the international community have done?
No.
Forget it. So Herzog says, so what are you doing? Which is better? To admit defeat and say Onis Rachman Apatre, or rely on Shidos Yachid, or leave non, say we won't have a state, let the Jews stay in Nazi Germany, right? Let them stay in Poland hiding as whatever, right? He said which, or even in America, he said which is a bigger chance of assimilation?
Also in the Nabiyan time, they didn't see Gaga in Norway, they conquered land even though
they... Yeah, he said look, are you crazy? He said, he said, the only way we can make things at least better is with religious tolerance. Right? Meaning, if we accept the basics of a liberal democracy, then we'll get to have a state. If we have a Jewish state, the assimilation will be better than the alternative. So don't tell me, right, we have the power. We don't have the power. Right? And we have to think about the Talmud Avar. It's better on balance for our Frumkeit to have a Jewish state than to have a British state that we happen to live here with no control whatsoever.
Oh, this sounds like it's all for Lo Yeshu, not Lo Zchanim.
Okay, meaning he's going to use it for both, but you're right. For Lo Yeshu, I'm totally by this. Right? For the generic prohibition, right, which is clearly sovereign related, it makes a lot of sense. He said, so let's just focus for a moment on Lo Yeshvu. He says, from that vantage point, it's clear that it's not just mutter, it's a mitzvah to do this. Right? It is, meaning, it's, no, it's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish state, even knowing, no, he's saying it's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish state, even if we know that comes at the cost of allowing Christians to come and visit the Holy Sepulchre. Right? Like or whatever they want to visit. He said, because while we're in Galus, assimilation is bad. He said, if the only way to make assimilation better is to create a Jewish state, and that will require a level of religious tolerance, even if technically it's problematic halachically, so be it.
Yeah.
Right? So be it. He said, "Ma tomer achshav shanu anusim, ma she'ingim medina yudit, na'avor baratzon, na'inzim baratzon, she'yev shar acheret." And then he says, "Kmochen yesh lo nachshavim ha'uvda she'idegach yigalush tachim rabim shel aretz." And he said, then there's the formal thing also, right? Which is, right? Formally, once we have a state, not only will we save Jews, but what will we get? More land. Right? Meaning, he said, if you're so afraid, right, of making a state because you might have to allow non-Jews to live there, then there's going to be a lot of land that I promise you will be in non-Jewish hands. Right? He said, if you're looking at it from, and this even works for Lo Sechaneim, right? But he says, if Lo Sechaneim means try to get as much Chaneya Bekarka in the Jewish hands away from non-Jewish hands, he said, if it were the case that the only way, right, you could enable a state was to be lenient on the halacha of Lo Sechaneim on a local level, right? Still, big adol, you get more chanei bekarka for Jews.
On the local level, it's the only way.
What?
I don't think it's sure that on the local level, it's the only way.
No, but let's say it would be, right? Let's say to put limitations, right? Meaning to have a reaction. Now, you could say, okay, but maybe the individual still shouldn't do it. Okay, fine.
I mean, like, you're saying, like, there's a case where the UN forced individual people to sell their houses, maybe in a Hanan.
Or to create a culture where people would sell, or something like that. But anyway, so he says, and therefore, he is Mekil. Now, but you're right. Fundamentally, this is more about Lo Yeshvu than it is about Lo Sechaneim. But Lo Sechaneim can still be solved, and he does do this. I don't think I gave you part of it before. Right? Lo Sechaneim, he says, he solves partially because of this, right? Because of these meta values. But plus, he says, in addition, I have another group of kulot, which is the Meiri plus the Raavad. Right? Right? At least for Muslims. Right? And the Meiri even for Christians. Right? So the meta question of Lo Yeshvu, right? Referred Sack says, look, if the problem is Pen Yachtiyu, it doesn't have Pen Yachtiyu. Plus, I have the Raavad. Plus, I have the Kesem Mishnah. Plus, I have an onus svara. Plus, if it's about Pen Yachdiyu, it's better for us to have a Jewish state, even allowing them in, than to not have anything. Right? Kol ze pashut. Right? Kol ze pashut. He says it's obvious, right? In another piece, which I didn't give you on this sheet, he says, and anyone with a brain in his head knows this. No rabbi in the whole world, right, will say that this is not the case. And this is even about, like, allowing churches, right? That's a share for another time.
But in other words, he's asking to look in the bigger spectrum.
He's asking you to look at the bigger picture. He says, in the bigger picture, the values of Lo Sechaneim and Lo Yeshvu and whatever are better kept having a sovereign state even within limitations, right? And therefore, it's worthwhile to either claim ones for certain things and maybe even just to rely on Shittas Yachid for other things. And as we said, selling land might not even be to Shittas Yachid. Right, it might even be Shittas Yachid. Right, many poskim thought it was Rabim, just because against the Rambam Shulchan Aruch doesn't mean it's the Rabim. Right, many poskim, the Minhag Eretz Yisrael for many years was to rely on the Rajba. Right, okay.
But onus, what do you mean by selling people?
No, onus means we have no choice.
Yeah.
Right, I mean for letting them in. Okay. Now.
What about the Mispah Birodi to destroy the Avodah?
That's a share for another time. That's a share for another time. Okay, I don't want to get into that because that's even more problematic, right? That's the church question, right? Can you allow churches in Eretz Yisrael? That's a different shir. I've given that shir and written articles on that topic, but not for now. Okay. Now, realistically, I don't think any posek really disagrees with Herzog on the Lo Yeshu point, right? I don't think any posek will say, "Yeah, don't let Christians visit." Like, right? I think everyone has basically bought his argument that that's fine, right? For whatever reason. Meaning, it's fine. Whether you think it's onus, or you think it's mutter because you paskin like the Miri, right? Whatever you think, right? No posek is lemaisa going to say that's a bad situation. Right? Meaning, that is not the right answer. Right? No one's going to say, go to the borders and lock it down and give them a theology test when they come in and say, either convert to Judaism or you can't visit. Right? No one's going to say that. What? Whatever. But what about... But as Eli keeps pushing back, these metasvaras may only apply to Lo Yeshvu. Right? But what about Lo Sechaneim? Now, again, the svara of... It doesn't apply to non-Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Will help for Muslims, and you can rely on the Rashba. Right? The Meiri might let you for Christians, but... What? Meiri.
So you rely on the Rashba.
And the Ravid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the Rashba is the one everyone quotes.
Not a Avodah Zarah one?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Ravid says it. Shivamimin. Fine, it could be Shivamimin. The Torah Tamima does actually paskin like that, right? The Smag, that it's only Shivamimin. But even without that, the Rashba is a majority position.
Right.
Okay. But the renting and selling exploded a few years ago, and if you just want to see how this played itself out, again, I'm not giving you the exhaustive list, but just to see it. In 16, you get a summary of what happened in a few years ago. Yoter mechamishim rabbanei arim itstarfu l'psak halacha shel rava yer tzvat shmuel aliyahu akoveya ki asur limkot dirot laravim afil lo laskera dirot levmish einam yudim lefi v'nei kechotchai mechelu mehumot bir tzvat lacha sharav shmuel aliyahu pasak kein limkor laskera dirot laravim. 50 rabbis signed on to Shmuel Eliyahu's psak that you aren't allowed to sell or rent property to Arabs. Right? Even to Arabs. Right? Kal v'chomer Christians. Rabbi Eliyahu is tamich l'mais al psak alacha domesh sh'alav chatmu be 2005, Bachira Rabbeinu Nisim Karelitz, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Aaron Yehuda Lev Steinman, Ramil Yehuda Lefkevich, Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. And he was relying on a similar psak that was signed in 2005. Right? Now, what argument they're taking? They're taking, look, Lo Sechanim, we fundamentally paskin like Shulchan Aruch, that applies to everybody unless they're actually a Ger Toshav. No one's a Ger Toshav, and therefore it's Usser. Right? That's it. Right? That was the argument.
And they're right into the Durban.
Right?
Different Durban.
What? And then there's that might not apply for Muslims. Right?
We're renting certainly not, we paskin like Rav Yossi.
My guys haven't done renting, so I'm going to elide the renting for a moment. You know the renting, but yes, the renting was based on that, so yeah, fine. Yes. But let's leave the renting for a moment, okay? Several major poskim pushed back on them. From different raid camps. One was, right, Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yosef Shalom Yashiv, Yatza Neged Achodmim, Vivir Agav, Ki Kipeura Tehom Midiologi Ben Rabbeinu Mecharedim L'Rabbeinu Ayamin, and Imuk Shal Yashiv, HaMechtav Alula, Tzid Antisemiyot Ba'olam. Right? Rabbi Yashiv said, no, you can't paskin that way, and definitely don't publicize it, because
it's going to get all the anti-Semitism.
It's anti-Semitism. Now, did he actually mean it's mutter to sell, or just don't publicize that you're not doing it, or just don't do it, don't say anything about it? I don't know. But you could come up with an argument which would say, look, why is it mutter to sell land to the Arabs?
Ava.
And then you'll say, well, it's daraisa. So you'll say, okay, either it's babish pekuch nefesh, or maybe it's only derabanan, right? Or I don't know.
Certainly, renting's only derabanan.
Oh, renting's only derabanan, for sure, right? So therefore, Rabbi Yashiv said, look, practically I don't agree. At least don't publicize it, okay? Rav Drukman took a direction similar to Rav Herzog said by Yeshua, and he said, no. Lo kemi da Yisrael mechuyevet l'kdech ezrachek yishav yizchuyot yishav mechuyevet gam betar Yisrael v'gam mechukam medina. He said, look, Israel has to treat all its citizens with respect, and that is in Torah and the law. Right? Now, I assume, right, despite what Eli doesn't like, he's assuming that, look, what Rav Herzog said nationally, right, even though Rav Herzog did apply it locally, now Rav Drukman's saying as well, he's saying, look, at the end of the day, if you want to have a liberal democracy and have the world respect you as such, then you've got to be able to sell land and allow all citizens to buy property.
Who's he speaking to?
What?
Who's he speaking to?
What do you mean?
Actually, the government has to allow that.
Correct, but if you tell everybody... So this is an argument that many poskim have made. Ellie's probably thinking, look, the average frum person could just say, I'm not going to sell. There are plenty of secular people who will sell, but I will be frum.
Right.
Right. The problem is that many Zionist poskim, religious Zionist poskim, said that's an illegitimate halachic approach. Because they say, look, if your halachic approach only works because you're assuming that Rove of Klal Yisrael isn't going to keep Torah, then that's not legitimate. Right?
That means I'm factually correct in this scenario.
No, but they say it doesn't matter. That a posse can't poskin that way. Meaning, there were several poskim, like Rav Shaul Yisraeli and others. One second. Ellie, let me just play it out. Let's say you had 100% frum state. Okay? Yeah. So now you'll say, well, the state, obviously isn't allowed to discriminate.
Right.
But the 100% of 100% of people in the country will be from and won't sell any land to Arabs ever.
What's the issue with that?
Politically?
If every individual doesn't want to sell, what's the problem?
What do you mean? Have you not heard the outcry that happens with that in America? Right? That if in a, right in America, that's illegal. Right? In America, it is against the law. They can prove. Right? In America, if they can prove that you are not selling to somebody because you want to control the demographics of who lives where you are, you can be arrested, or you can be fined. You can't be arrested, you can be fined.
Really? If I sell because of your religious beliefs, it's
It is illegal. It is illegal.
Yeah.
Individual.
I was a real estate.
As an individual, that's illegal. Yes, it is illegal. And therefore, you're right. Maybe one guy could get away with it. Right? But if 100% of the state were actually from, you couldn't get away with it. Right? Internationally. You couldn't get away with it. Because people would realize there's de facto discrimination. Now, you'll tell me, okay, that's not the Metzius. Right? But when many religious Zionist poskim said, okay, but a posek has to poskin, right? A posek has to poskin and say, look, this is the halacha. Anyone who wants to listen, listen. Right? They can't poskin and say, I'm going to poskin this way, knowing that it only works because 20% of people will keep the halacha and the other 80 won't. Right? You can't do that. A posek has to issue a psak, right? Meaning, they say, look, if you think that were your psak kept by all of Klal Yisrael, it wouldn't work, then you have to poskin differently. Because you can't poskin in such a way that only works because 80% of Klal Yisrael is going to be your Shabbos goy, or your Lo Sechanim goy, right? That's not a legitimate psak. And therefore, what Rav Herzog is getting at, Rav Druckmann is getting at, Rav Israeli says explicitly, is look, if you think that practically, nowadays, it is legitimate for the state to not discriminate, for whatever halakhic reason you justify it with, then you can't say, but the individual should discriminate, knowing that no one will really notice because 80% of Klal Yisrael doesn't care about the halacha. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I understand why not. It's
so
awesome to style unless I'm an honest.
Correct.
In case I'm not an honest, because they're not going to notice. What's the problem?
Because the posek has to paskin as if everyone feels mechuyavut halacha because they are mechuyavut halacha.
I know, and he says you're only chayav in case of an honest. It happens to be right now. You're not in the case of honest because a lot of them are.
So you correct, but I'm telling you what these poskim didn't accept, right? They don't accept that as a methodology, right? They think psak has to be issued as if everyone would actually keep halacha.
I don't know what it is.
Because that's the job of a posek, right? Let me give you a different example, right? Which functions of the police forces can function on Shabbos, right? So if Herzog said, look, at first he said, well, I don't really have to poskin for this because whatever, the non-religious people don't care anyways, and so the frum people will just go home and they won't work on Shabbos. And Rav Israeli said, what are you talking about? There's a chiyuv de oraisa of shoftim v'shoftim t'yatinen l'chabachol sha'arecha, right? Which means that it has to be theoretically possible to set up shotrim, right, a police force that functions on Shabbos. That has to be a theoretical possibility.
Okay.
Right? One second. And he says, therefore, the job of the posek is to say, this is what's mutter and this is what's asur, and not say, whatever, the non-frum Jews will be my Shabbos guy. Right? So many poskim think they also can't be your Lo Sechanim guy. Right? You're saying, oh, it's onus. But the poskim are saying it is onus, because you're not allowed to rely. It's called onus if the only way that you won't have to do it is if another Jew who's equally mechuyav has to violate the Isser. That's still called anus.
I mean, he doesn't have to either. I just factually know if let's say there's 100%, but the
you understand in America you could be you, right. America, this would be illegal. I'm just saying.
But
that's the point, right? Is that
let's say 100% get away with it, and they wouldn't care politically. Then of course we would be asked to sell it.
Correct. That's not the reality.
Good, but
no. But that's the point.
You can say no and go unnoticed. So what's the issue?
Because a posek has to poskin in a way that is acceptable for Klal Yisrael. That's their
what
assumption.
You
don't accept it. Ellie, I get what you don't accept. But the poskim thing is not true.
Posek goes on record.
being opposing is setting policy for Klal Yisrael. They can't set policy that only works because Rov of Klal Yisrael doesn't keep halacha. They have to set halachic policy. And if at the moment they judge that there is a national anus, then it applies to everyone, even if practically one person can get away with it. Okay? That's their assumption. You may not like it, but that's the assumption. Okay? Last point. Rav Lichtenstein was really the one who really pushed back on this a lot. In 19, and he says, to say the least, it must be asked whether this battle is worth fighting, aside from the judgment, the wisdom it sees faulty, as well, indeed, almost the entire unfolding of events that resulted in the dissemination of this letter was foreseeable, and to a large extent obvious. The public furor, both social and ideological, the rift that is opened among the citizens of the state, between camps within camps, the op-eds in the various media outlets, the various positions, often impassioned and all overheated, the attack on the religious Zionist rabbit from the right and the left, even from Torah giants, it was all foreseeable. One reads it and wonders what happened to the wisdom of those who are enjoined to consider future ramifications. The document speaks in the name of halacha, and its signatories see themselves as envoys and propagators. But therein lies the problem. The prohibition of selling homes to Gentiles is presented as the exclusive halakhic position of the matter at hand, and the voice that bursts forth from the throat of the signatories made to sound like the single, unequivocal word of God, that is, halacha. However, here one asks, is that indeed so? Without a doubt, the position expressed in the letter is based on rabbinic sources and a long halakhic tradition. Yet taken as a whole, the document leaves one with the impression that its conclusions are based on presumptions that characterize a particular but not exclusive halakhic approach. This impression is generated in part by what the document states and no less by the document omits. For example, blah, blah, blah. Right? And he said, what is that? So I gave you some. The Ravid, right? right? The possibility that Lo Sechanim doesn't apply if it's in the seller's best interest, right? That was Rav Kook, who applied it not just to Matnas Chinam, but even to selling Karka. The sheet of the Tosvos, that, as understood by the Ramah, the Christian is not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Right? And therefore he says that even if it's not, even if you can justify the Machmir position, right? There's such a thing as Shas HaTchak, right? And to say that this is the only possibility when it will cause the political fallout, and when it's not a practical position for the whole nation to hold, right? He argues, as did Rabbi Yashiv, right, that it is a time to rely on the kulot. Okay, so that is just, as I said, I would give you today just a snapshot of the way that Post can deal with it. I understand that Ellie doesn't like every kulot that came up, right? Some of them he likes more than others, some of them you're fine with. Saying we just rely on the Rashba, fine, right? You don't like the more meta ones, I understand, but I'm just telling you the type of arguments that were made. Okay. My guys will get back to the renting so when we get back, but you guys should enjoy it a lot. You guys are